A reading from the book of Sirach. My child, conduct your affairs with humility, and you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are, and you will find favor with God. What is too sublime for you, seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Water quenches flaming fire, and alms atone for sins. The word of the Lord.
God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. The just rejoice and exult before God. They are glad and rejoice. Sing to God, chant praise to his name, whose name is the Lord. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. The father of orphans and the defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God gives a home to the forsaken. He leads forth prisoners to prosperity. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. A bountiful rain you showered down, O God, upon your inheritance. You restored the land when it languished. Your flock settled in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided it for the needy. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which can be touched on a blazing fire and glooming darkness and the storm and a trumpet blast and a voice speaking words such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. No, you have approached Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. The word of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Take my yoke upon you, says the Lord, and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I remember the day well. It was just a short 11 days ago. It was a beautiful, sunny, cool summer day, just like ones we've had lately. It was my last day of vacation. I was up on a hill looking down on one of Michigan's countless, stunningly gorgeous blue-green lakes, rimmed with undulating hills. I'd spent a lot of time there. I had said Mass every day. I had prayed countless hours. And it was time to leave. For me, worse still, it was time to pack. I might like drinking vinegar better than I like packing. I think vacations are like a nice, big, juicy steak. Packing is like taking the steak and dropping it in the mud. I feel sad and disappointed for this blemish on perfection. Of course, not all is lost, but it'd be better if I didn't have to do it. Have you ever been somewhere and not wanted to leave? Why? Why did you not want to leave? I suppose that the times you felt that particular feeling the most, "I really don't want to leave," were not the times when you ate the most or drank the most or the music was loudest or the hour was latest. I think that those times were when you most felt loved, when you were most at peace, times that joy and wonder touched you, times that you experienced being blessed, blessed by God. That's the mark of his blessing. So I'm sitting there thinking, talking to God, and I'm saying, why do these times have to end? These times of being really blessed, being at peace. Is this God tormenting us? Is this God teasing us? You can smell, but you cannot taste. Of course not. Those blessed times, those times of joy and peace and wonder, times like that are God's gentle kisses of encouragement to us and our preparing for the life to come. It is God giving us a little glimpse now of the joy that awaits us all if we persevere and remain faithful. I believe this is what our second reading is talking about. It's talking about what we encounter when we come here and do what we're doing. The letter to the Hebrews, it says in your worship aid, letter to the Colossians, that was a mistake. We actually read from the letter to the Hebrews. The letter to the Hebrews was written to Jewish converts to Christianity. Some say living in Palestine, which were being persecuted for becoming Christians. And they were being tempted because of their persecution to abandon Christianity and revert to Judaism. It's often throughout the book comparing the Old Testament to the New Testament and explaining why Jesus was bringing a better covenant. In our passage, the short one we had, there's different mountains. There's Mount Sinai and Mount Zion. There's different assemblies, Israel and the church. There's different responses. The Israelites had great fear. We have profound worship. Different locations, earth and heaven, different mediators, Moses and Jesus. Our second reading is referring to what happened on Mount Sinai when Moses received the Ten Commandments and comparing that to what we do here in this Eucharist. When we unite our prayers and sacrifices to the perfect offering of Jesus to the Father through the cross and the resurrection. What the Israelites did through Moses on Mount Sinai, what we do through Jesus here now, touching heaven. The second reading says, brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which could be touched in a blazing fire and gloomy darkness and a storm and a trumpet blast. And a voice speaking words such as those who heard them begged that no message be further addressed to them. That's a reference to Exodus, where it says, on the morning of the third day, now this is Moses up on Mount Sinai, in the clouds. The morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, as well as a thick cloud on the mountain. Try and visualize this. And a blast of a trumpet so loud that all the people were in the camp trembled. How loud would a trumpet blast be for you to tremble? Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke, because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. Mountains on fire. There's loud trumpets. The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, which the whole mountain, while the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the trumpet grew louder, Moses would speak and God would answer him in thunder. I'm glad God doesn't answer me in thunder. That was the glory of God, the power of God, the majesty of God being revealed as he was establishing his law, his covenant with Moses. And the folks were terrified. They cried out for it all to stop and end. They shook. Okay, now our second reading goes on. No, that's not your experience. No, you have approached, not Mount Zion, you have approached, excuse me, not Mount Sinai, you have approached Mount Zion. That's what we do here. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. That was a foreshadowing, what we do here. And countless angels in festal gatherings. Now, it takes faith not only to believe this, but to perceive this. And the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. Abel's blood spoke judgment, accountability and guilt for all of our sins. The blood of Jesus cries out for mercy, for purification, for peace with God and union with Him forever. That's what we participate in here. That was a foreshadowing. This is a fulfillment. We'll know it fully in heaven. We can touch it now through faith together. Are there some times in which you don't want Mass to end? There's sometimes you pray and you wish you had more time. Sometimes you want after communion a little more quiet. Lord, I'd like to stay here a little longer. Now, I truly pity those who come to Mass and are restless and anxious, for whom these holy mysteries are just a cruel endurance test, or they go through them like a zombie on Night of the Living Dead. Must get through this, must go fast, brain dead. They're not engaging these holy mysteries. They're thinking of other things. Well, I know for the record we all get distracted. But if distraction is your usual experience, then there's so much here for you to know. The feast is spread. We need to open our eyes. It'd be like telling a beggar, come inside the feast if you're hungry. Come have abundance. Rouse your faith. Why does God give us times like this where we don't have to quake in fear, but we can touch Mount Zion, the throne of the living God, and countless angels? It's a great gift. Believe me, it's a gift. There's many who really want to be here, but they can't. They're sick. They're homebound. They don't have anybody to bring them. And it is a great privilege, not an onerous obligation. Why? Because we touch the land of our true home. This is about what we'll do forever. This is about who we truly are, and touching God as He is. God wants to give us these little kisses of encouragement, a little peek at what awaits. And if we see what's here, even if we see it just a little, if we're touched by God's grace, necessarily we'll be a little sad when we can't stay. Because this is not yet our final home. We have to pack up and go back to work. The sadness, you see, is God's whispering to us, this is not yet all I have for you. There's much more to come. It gets way better. The sadness you see anticipates what the book of Revelations reveals in chapter 21. See, the home of God is among men and women. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people. He will anticipate this. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. No more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. And the one who sits on the throne says, see, I make all things new. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. This is what awaits us. This is what we anticipate. This is the wedding banquet of the Lamb, the wedding banquet that our gospel reading today says, to which only the humble will be invited.